Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Amen. Lord, I pray that right now that you would take over and that you would speak. Holy Spirit, you know exactly what it is that you want to convey. Have your way, Holy Spirit, and speak just the way you want to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A moment ago, I asked people to look at each other and to tell them, I am a giant killer. Some of you believed it. Some of you did not. You were kind of like sheepish. I'm a giant killer, I guess. I believe it. It's a fact. It's a fact in my life. I'm a giant killer. Craig Rochelle said, if you want to change who you are, change what you do. Towards the end of 2017, a process of healing began in my life, which forced me to face giants in my life. I found myself asking two questions. One was, what does it mean to be consecrated to God? And the other question was, what does it mean to be a man? And as I went through 2018, in pursuing the answers to these two questions, I found myself having to face things that I hadn't wanted to face. And I found myself having to face giants. Giants that had been intimidating me since childhood. But by the end of 2018, I was able to look back over the course of the year and see those giants dead. And to see that I myself had been transformed. People have said it to me at various times throughout 2018. You've changed. You're different. And deep inside, I knew it. I knew I was changed. I knew I was different because I had faced giants in my life and I'd seen them fall dead and I am never going back. Coming into 2019 now, I find there are two more questions on my mind, but don't be nosy. God's put two more questions on my heart that I'm asking, too personal for me to be sharing here at this pulpit. And there are two more giants that are facing me this year. But there is a difference coming into this year than there was coming into last. You see, coming into last year, I hoped I could kill the giants. But coming into this year, I am a giant killer. I've killed giants before. And if there are more giants ahead of me this year, I will kill them as well, because I am a giant killer. In this scripture, when Gideon was met by the angel of the Lord, giants had already been killed in Israel's history. This nation was a nation that had faced enemies and seen them killed. Some of you have faced enemies over your life. And you've seen them killed. But Gideon himself had never killed a giant. Gideon hadn't done it yet. His ancestors had killed giants. His fathers had killed giants. But Gideon himself had never killed a giant. And as he was there, approached by the angel of the Lord, saying that the Lord is with him, the same way how I had two questions, Gideon had two questions. You see them right there in verse 13. The first question he had was this: why has all this happened to us? And the second question he had was this: where are all the miracles? Let's have a look at these two questions that were so pressing on Gideon that when he had an encounter with the Lord, these are the questions he had to ask. I don't know, maybe you here, if the Lord was to appear to you as real and as vivid as the angel appeared to Gideon, what would you ask the Lord? What would your questions be? Do you have questions for Jesus? Do you have questions for the Lord? Maybe there are questions about your life, things that maybe you've never been able to understand or fathom. Maybe there are questions about your present day life, things you can't quite figure out. What would you ask the Lord? Well, this is what Gideon asked. The first question he asked was this: why has all this happened to us? Why has this happened to us at this time? As we just read, at this time, Israel as a nation was impoverished. They were made poor and they were in fear. Now, this was God's chosen people. God's chosen people separated in a covenant with God. Yet at this time, they were living in fear and they were poor. Poor. They were living in caves and in mountains in fear for their lives. There was a tribe, a group of people, a nomadic tribe called the Midianites, who were moving into the land. Now, get this clear. When I say moving into the land, I'm saying moving into Israel's land. God had given Israel this land. This was Israel's promised land. They were living in the place that God had set apart for them. But yet somehow another nomadic tribe was moving into their promise, destroying their crops, taking their animals, camping. I mean, the audacity of that. Can you imagine just some random people? We walk into your front room and there are Mr. and Mrs. Random on your couch. The couch that you paid for by the sweat of your brow. Just camping there, eating out of your fridge, watching your TV and accessing sites on your Wi-Fi. But can you imagine Mr. and Mrs. Nomadic Tribe being so fearsome that as you tried to confront them, they just came and stood over you, loomed over you in your own house, grabbed you, tied your hands behind your back, kicked you up the stairs, kicked you into some room, told you to stay there. And can you imagine being so fearful that you actually stayed there? While they went downstairs and ate that lasagna at your freezer. These nomadic tribes had moved right into Israel's land, into the land that God had promised to them, and camped there as thick as locusts, destroying crops, eating their animals. The Bible says the Israelites were reduced to starvation. Reduced to starvation in their own land. Ain't that just like the devil? Ain't that just like the devil when you've had a breakthrough, when you've come through some stuff, when you're living in some degree of your promise? Ain't it just like the devil at that point to start sending him his little minions in again? To take away from you what God gave to you. God gave that to you. God gave that to you. God gave you back your health. God gave you back your right mind. God gave you that marriage. God gave you those children. God gave you that job. God gave you those opportunities. God gave you that church. God gave you those friends. And it just led the enemy to come right into what God has given you and try to take it all away from you, leaving you trembling in fear in the process. How dare he? How dare he? The Israelites were reduced to starvation, and Gideon himself was living in utter fear, threshing wheat in a wine press. Without going into that, because it takes too much time, you don't thresh wheat in a wine press. You thresh wheat outside where the wind can deal with it. You can read that later if you want to. You just don't do it indoors in a wine press. He was doing something, threshing wheat to make bread with, doing it in fear, indoors, where there's no wind, just trying to make something happen, scared that any minute something's going to take it away from him. I faced fears like that all throughout 2018. All throughout 2018, I faced fears like that. Fears of, man, how will I move forward from this point at which I'm at? Will I take one step forward and five steps back? Will I ever break home free? Will I ever get through this? Gideon's there, and his first question to the Lord is, Lord, if this is our land, if this is our promise, why have you allowed all this to happen to us? Lesson number one, if you're going to be a giant killer, you must face the reality of your condition. You got to face the reality of your condition. If you're all that and a bag of chips, God bless you, you may go. But if you look at your life today and you realize, I'm not there yet, I'm not there yet. What God has promised for my life, I'm not there yet. And if there is anything standing in the way of you being everything that God has called you to be, you've got to face it just as it is. You've got to face the reality of your condition. Sure, I'm grateful for how far I've come. I'm grateful for all God has done in my life. Yes, I'm grateful for the things he's brought me through, but I'm not finished yet. There are still greater things ahead of me for my life. I'm not ready to park up here, put my feet up, backwards and forwards in a rocking chair until I'm old. I got things to do. There is a calling on my life. There is an anointing on my life. There is an anointing on my marriage. There is an anointing upon my children. There is an anointing. There is a legacy to leave, and I'm not about to give up now. You've got to look at yourself where you are right now and say, listen, I'm not stopping here. I'm just getting started. This is the beginning. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. I can already see it in some people's faces. I can already see it. The weariness of trying. And I want to say to you today, whoever you are, a weary man or a weary woman, this is a new season. And I know that you might have been beaten in the past, but this isn't your year to get beaten. This is your year to rise. The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you, mighty woman of valor. You are a giant killer. You are not ending this year the same way you began it. You're going to get a breakthrough this year. You got to take that, take it, take it, take it. That's all right. That's all right. Some of you still don't believe me yet. His second question. Where are all the miracles? He said, Lord, if you are with us, if you're with me, then not only why has all this happened, but where are the miracles? See, Gideon was not of the generation that came out of Egypt. He just heard the stories. He heard the stories. I imagine Gideon as a little boy sitting down with the elders of his family while the elders tell the little children the stories of what God did in the past, the stories of the 10 plagues that God visited on Pharaoh and on the Egyptians, the stories of the way God parted the Red Sea so the Israelites could walk through it, the stories of how God drowned Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea, the stories of how God led Israel through the wilderness with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, the stories of how God caused quail and manna to fall every day so the Israelites would not go hungry, the stories of how Joshua, the commander of the army, was able to lead the army through the Jordan by seeing it miraculously part, the stories of how they walked around the walls of Jericho and after the seventh time saw the walls of Jericho fall to the ground miraculously. And as Gideon remembered all the stories of what God had done in the history of his people and in the history of his nation, he looked around at the condition that they were in of the day and he said to God, if you did all that back then, where are the miracles now? Where are those miracles? Why don't I see you breaking through in my life? Why don't I see you turning things around in my life? If you did it for him and if you did it for her, where are the miracles in my life? You provided for him. Where are the miracles in my life? You healed her. Where are the miracles in my life? You gave him the answer to his prayer. Where are the miracles in my life? Gideon stood there and he looked at the Lord and said, Lord, if you are with us, if the Lord is with us, where are the miracles? There may be some people here today. It's been a long time since you saw God work a miracle in your life. It's been a long time. You might even have begun to think that God doesn't answer your prayers anymore, that God isn't interested in answering your prayers. This is the second lesson. If you're going to be a giant killer, you must believe for working business. Some people may have looked up here this morning and seen two products of a program. I didn't see two products of a program. I looked up here at Kaylee and Christiana and I saw two miracles right before my very eyes. I look out here today and I see miracles right before my very eyes. I see men and I see women who have been bound, who have been chained, who lost hope in themselves, who lost hope in this life, who saw friends pass away, who saw family pass away. I look out and I see men and women today who had rough backgrounds, had a rough upbringing. They were pulled up rather than grew up, and they still feel sometimes like they can't make it. But then I look and I see how God has been able to do an amazing work in their lives. I've seen how he's given them jobs. I see how he's given them marriages. I see how he's given them children. I see how he's raised them up in the ministry. I look and I see how there are men and women today who are, simply put, miracles of the living God. We serve under a pastor and his wife who represent the miracle working power of God. We've heard their testimonies. We've heard about the lifestyle they came from. But here they are today, leading a church, overseeing a region in England and in Holland and in Spain and in Germany. I mean, come on now. How is God able to raise up a dirty, stinking drug addict and make him into a man of God, respected around the world? People look at him and they don't believe where he came from until he starts telling jokes, and then it all kind of falls into place. Gideon said, Lord, where are the miracles in my life? Where are the miracles in my life? See, I don't know, but underneath all that threshing wheat in a wine press, I think there was a little bit of frustration that was building up inside of Gideon. A little bit of frustration building up inside of him. I believe he was coming to a place in his life where he was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I believe Gideon was in a place where he was beginning to think, wait a second, this ain't the promise. This ain't the promise. This ain't what God's called us to. This ain't the best God has for me. Something inside of Gideon was beginning to burn like a little bit of a fire, a little bit of a fire inside him. Or it might have just been a flicker at one point, but the more he was there trying somehow to thresh wheat in a wine press, something inside of him was beginning to say, wait a second, this ain't it. Some of you are waking up in the morning and something inside of you is telling you, this ain't it. Some of you are going through your day. You are working your job. And as you're working your job, smiling at your colleagues or customers, something inside of you is gnawing away at your bones, telling you, this ain't it. Some of you are in ministry right now, and you're laboring, and you're being faithful, and you're turning up, and you're paying your tithes, and you're paying your United Can. But something inside of you is gnawing away, and you feel inside, wait a second, this is not it. I say to you today, that's not the enemy. That is the beginning of the giant dying. God's getting ready to raise up a giant killer. God's getting ready to raise up a man. God's getting ready to raise up a woman who will no longer live a mediocre life. God is getting ready to raise up a man or a woman who will no longer just stumble through the day on an emotional roller coaster. God is raising up a man and a woman who will take God's promise, who will take God at his word, and who will not just sing it, but say it. It's a new season in my life. That old thing's gone. That old way's gone. That old stuff's gone. I'm a brand new man. I'm a brand new woman, and I am ready to lay my hands on all that God has for me. Right now you feel it. Right now I'm making people uncomfortable right now. Good. Good. I remember how uncomfortable I felt when I looked at myself in the mirror and I saw how overweight I'd got. And it gnawed at me because I knew it wasn't genetic. I knew it wasn't something like that. It was depression that got me that way. It was depression. It was low self-esteem. And it was hopelessness that led me to a lifestyle of stuffing myself because I couldn't find any other way to get a breakthrough. And I looked at it in the mirror and I was like, wait a minute. Is this what I've turned myself into? Is this what I've become? If it's genetic or whatever like that, that's a whole different story, man. But there's things that people do when they're depressed. There's things that people do when they lose hope. There's things that people turn to. Some turn to food and some turn to porn and some turn to this and some turn to that. When they start feeling it deep down inside, they start looking for something, some way out. But one day, in God's mercy and in God's grace, he brings the mirror of truth to you and says, look, son, look, daughter, is that really what you think I have for you? Is this really what I wanted you to become? And it begins to stir inside, stir inside, stir inside. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. I'm telling you, you are having an encounter with the Holy Spirit. You are having an encounter with the Lord. The angel of the Lord is there, and he is saying to you, I'm with you. And the questions are beginning to rise. If you're with me, then why has this happened? If you're with me, where are the miracles? And God, faithful, faithful God, answered Gideon's question, but not with an explanation. He didn't answer Gideon's question with an explanation. See, that would have been nice. I mean, how many just want to know why? Do you know what I mean? How many, like, you know what? I just want to know why. Like, why? Like, okay, I get it. Like, but why? I don't know if anyone here has ever had a big old why just following them through their life. Like, why? You know, okay, I'll deal with it. I'll handle it. But why? Why? Why me? Why me? Why? God didn't answer Gideon's question with an explanation. You know what God answered Gideon's question with? A command. A command. Ain't that like God? Ain't that like God? You have the deep questions, and God doesn't tell you why. He doesn't tell you why. He gives you a command. He said in verse 14, here's what he said. And rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Three things real quick. I'll do this quick. Three things in the way God answered Gideon with a command. Number one, he told Gideon to go. That means get ready for action. Get ready for action. Listen, if I've made you uncomfortable this morning, it's not me. It's not me. Throw your tomatoes at me if you will. That's okay. But no, it's not me. And the Lord's answer to you right now as you ask your questions why, one of the answers is this. Go. Get ready for action. This year, it's time to do something about it. It's time to do something about it. He said, go in the strength you have. He told Gideon, you have strength. You have strength. And I want to say that right now, prophetically, to anyone who needs to hear this. You have strength. You have strength. No matter how impoverished you may feel, no matter how weary you may feel in your spirit, no matter how many times you may have felt disappointed, no matter how many times you may have felt like giving up, no matter how many times you woke up wondering if it's another day like yesterday, no matter how many times you got to the end of the day thinking, oh, here we go again, one more sleep and one more day, no matter how many times you've thought you're going around on some carousel, on some merry-go-round, a life that's not going to change, I speak to you today that inside of you, there is a strength to do something about it. There is a strength to change. There is a strength to rise. There is a strength to build. There is a strength to become. You've got to get ready for action and go in the strength that you have. You have it. There are ideas in you. There is creativity in you. There is a new understanding in you. It's in you. It's in you. There is something in you. There is something in you. I remember the day when I thought I had no more songs to write, but then one day God surprised me by writing a song through me. And I was like, wait a minute, I thought it was over. And God said, no, I'm just getting started, because there's a strength in you. There's a strength in you. There's a strength in you. I say to the men in the home, I don't know your story. I don't know where you came from, guys. I don't know what's happened in your lives. I don't know. All I know is this, however you may feel right now, there is strength in you. There is strength in you. There is something inside of you. There is something so deep in you. There is something in you. And the life that you have lived, you will not have to live that life any longer. This is the year where that changes. This is the year where that whole book, not just the chapter, that book gets closed this year. And something brand new starts this year, because there is strength in you. There's something in you. Why are you still here after all this time? Why are you still here after all you've seen? After all that's happened? After all that's been done? After all that you've done, why are you still here? Because the keeping power of God is on your life, and there is strength in you. There is purpose in you. You may not know how to pray, but God will teach you how to pray. You may not know how to read, but God will teach you how to read. You may not know how to stand, but God's going to teach you how to stand. There is something in you, and this year is the year for you to kill the giant and never go back again. Same to the women. Same thing to the women's home. Same thing. You are just getting started. You're just getting started. After all God has done, you think he's finished? God don't half-bake. God don't half-bake. How God gonna half-bake? That ain't my God. And that's not your God. If God took the trouble of getting you, pulling you together like ingredients from that messed up, shattered life, pulling you back together, mixing you back into oneness, mixing you back into wholeness, he's not going to stop right there. You're going to go through the fire. but you're gonna come out, man. You're gonna come out like a good piece of cake. Whole. Whole. That's the word to you. That is the word to you. The word to you is whole. That's the word. It's whole. It's whole. Nothing broken. Nothing missing. Whole. He said, go in the strength you have. I am sending you. I am sending you. Gideon wasn't being sent by little Bertie from next door. Gideon wasn't being sent by his girlfriend Norris. Gideon was being sent by the Lord God. That means that there was grace on him. The grace of God. As you look in 2019, I tell you this, the grace of God is on your life. I can't go through the whole of the scripture. I mean, if you're a Bible student, if you know your Bible, you'll know that Gideon's got a lot in it. The story of Gideon is a lot. I encourage you, get into Judges 6, Judges 7, Judges 8. Study Gideon. Let that sink in your spirit. It's a heavy story. But one thing I'll say from verse 24 is this. Gideon made a name for the Lord there. And that Lord, the name was this, Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. I say to you this year that not only is there grace for your life, but there is peace. See, you won't understand everything. I think about David standing before Goliath. I don't think David fully understood the dynamics of the moment. But I believe he had peace. And as he stood before Goliath with them little stones, he had peace. And when you stand before your giant, there's going to be this peace on you. This peace. And you may not fully understand everything. You may still be asking why? But don't sit there asking why. God's given you an answer in the command. Go. And as you go to face that giant that stands before you, you will have peace that the Lord is with you. I'm going to end with these 3 points. Can I have a little bit more time? 5 more minutes. 6 more minutes. And a half. Verses 25, 27. What happened here is that God, in fact, put it up. Verses 25, 27. Put it up. I didn't put it here in my notes. It's just okay. That night, the Lord said to Gideon, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that is 7 years old, pull down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole standing next to it. Next verse. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar, using as fuel the wood of the Asherah pole you cut down. One more verse. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had commanded, but he did it at night. People of the town. Real quick. Number one. I'll do this really quick. Keep up with me if you can. All right? The people that had moved in to their land, Israel's land, their ancestors were giants. The giants, a particular giant was called Og, King Og. And he was a Rephaim, one of the Rephaim. Now, Moses dealt with that giant. Moses, and in his generation, killed that giant. The Bible says he was in a bed that was 13 and a half feet long and 6 feet wide. He was a big dude. He was a giant. Moses, in his generation, killed that giant. But that giant, he was a king. He ruled over these people. And even when the giant was dead, the people still kept up some of the practices they had learned under the giant. So that means that even though the giant was dead, the giant was living. The giant was dead, but the influence of the giant was still coming through the practices that the people had. And one of the practices the people had was worshiping Baal and Asherah, fertility gods. Like, you know, Baal was, El and Asherah got together and had Baal, that kind of thing. And they would worship these gods. And the Bible says it's because, catch this, it's because they worshiped those idols that God allowed Midian to come in. God allowed Midian to come into the promise because they kept up the practices of the giant. See, you can kill the giant, but still allow it to influence you. The giant will have access through the idols. Get rid of the idols. Anything in your life worship of God. See, you broke that habit. You broke it. But it's come back in. Because there's something standing against the Lord, and it's allowed it back in. Get rid of the idols that give the giant access. Number two, don't replace an idol with an idol. See, when God told Gideon to tear those things down, he said straight away, build an altar to God. Build an altar to God right in the same place. Right in the same place. You see, sometimes people will replace one idol with another idol. That's still an idol, and the giant will still have access. The only way to get rid of the idol is to destroy it and replace it with an altar. Where's your worship at? Where's your worship at? Where's your worship? Where's your prayer life at? Where's your prayer life at? Where are you breaking through in prayer? Are you breaking through in prayer? Are you breaking through? Are you taking time to break through in prayer? Huh? You gotta put the altar of God where the idol used to be. Don't just get rid of the idol and stick another idol in its place. Put the altar where the idol was. Worship there. Pray there. Read your word there. Evangelize there. Go out and tell people that you're free. Put the altar where the idol was. And number three, the Bible says that Gideon did it at night because he was still dealing with some things. He was still a bit fearful. He was wondering, if I go and start tearing down idols in the daytime, the people are going to come and they're going to have me. So he did it at night. But you know what? So what? So what? He still did it. Some of us here, when it comes to the giants, we got to stop caring what other people think so much. Stop caring what other people think so much.
Oh, you're holier than now, holier than thou are you now? No, I'm just trying to kill a giant. You think you're too good for us now? Oh, you think you're too good for us now? No, I'm just serious about killing a giant this year. See, whether he did it a day or night, whatever, he did it. He did it. He went and he killed that thing. He tore down the idol, and the dead giant no longer had access to his life. An actor once said, You can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance of doing what you love. Rather than just sit there scared doing nothing, at least get up and try. And who cares what people say? Who cares what they think? Someone said to me, oh, you'll never lose weight. They said that to me. They said it to me. Oh, you're always going to have that. And I looked at that person and I said, all right, I'm going to prove you wrong. I didn't say it. But inside my head, I was like, all right. Catch me outside. Look at me a year from now. And I just went secretly, quietly, without any fanfare, and got to work. Just got to work. Whether it's day or night, don't matter. I just got to work. And a year later, I reminded the person what they said. Listen, there are people around you right now that they want to talk negative to you. They want to tell you, you know, they want to say stuff to you to just keep you from moving, keep you from growing, keep you from rising. You know what? Let them catch you a year from now. You just get to work. Just get to work. Just get to work. Just get to work. Get the idol, tear down the idol. Build the altar. No one needs to know. No one needs to see you in your prayer closet. That's private. You get to prayer. You wake up at 1 a.m. You wake up at 2 a.m. You do what you got to do. You get to prayer. Just get to prayer. Don't worry what the people are saying. Get to prayer. Get to prayer. Fast. We don't just need a church fast. Do your own fast. Go ahead and do it, man. Just get to work. Get to work. Tear down the idol and get to work. Build the altar and get to work. And let the same people who are being negative about you today see you a year from now when God's blessing and God's favor and a fresh wind and fresh health and a new season is in your life. You may stand as I read this last verse, Judges chapter 8, verses 28. Put it on the screen for me, please. Judges chapter 8, verses 28 says this: that is the story of how the people of Israel defeated Midian, which never recovered. I said never recovered. Some of you this year are going to kill giants that will never recover. They ain't coming back. They dead. Throughout the rest of Gideon's lifetime, about 40 years, there's that peace. There's that peace. God, right now, Lord, if any of this was of you, I pray, Lord God, that you would seal it with your peace. I pray right now, oh Lord God, that you would release a peace, Lord God, in the hearts of your people. I pray, Father God, that you'd release, oh God, a peace in their spirit. Let them know that you are with them. Let them know that even if they don't understand why, that you are with them. Let them know you've given them grace to do what you've called them to do. Let them know that this year, oh God, because of your grace, they are going to be able to see giants fall. God, we've heard about these giants. We've heard about giants of fear. We've heard about giants of poverty. We've heard about giants of doubt. We've heard about these giants, oh God. We've heard about these giants. But God, we pray in the name of Jesus that we wouldn't just be hearing about them, oh Lord God,
hard in January or February, but come August, come September, come October, that Lord God, these giants will be dead, and there'll be no way back. There'll be no idol in place for them to come back into our lives. And now, you lift your hands right there and begin to build that altar. Begin to worship the Lord. Begin to talk to Him right now. Just begin to speak to the Lord. I want a worship song, a worship song, a worship song. Yeah, you should begin just to... Yeah, just begin to just pray to Him. Just begin to talk to the Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Just begin to say, Lord, 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 show me. Give me that peace. Let me understand. Let me see it. Let me know that you're with me. That you're with me. That you're with me. Let me know that you're with me. That you're with me. 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 Let me know, God. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, just continue to speak to the Lord right now.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.